Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And joining us here for the second half of the show is Juanita.
We ran a bit long, but I hope you understand.
We'll be speaking with Juanita Constable. She's a health policy expert in the Climate and Clean Energy Program at the Natural Resources Defense Council. Thanks so much for joining us, Juanita.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's get right into this study that was released last week, I believe, on the online medical journal JAMA Open Network. The title of this study is Climate Crisis Disproportionately Harms Black Mothers and Their Infants. And Juanita, can you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch about what this study looked at and those conclusions?
Sure, happy to do that. So the researchers systematically reviewed 68 different studies on the effects of extreme heat and air pollution on pregnancy outcome. And taking this approach really allowed them to look at the existing body of work together all in one spot. The short story is that they found that the overwhelming weight of evidence shows an association of pollution and heat, which are both getting worse with climate change, with preterm birth and low birth weight. Now, when they looked specifically at studies that examined racial and ethnic disparities, they found that Black mothers were at a higher risk. And a smaller but still notable number of studies also found elevated risks in Latino and Asian moms. This study is really consistent with a bunch of others that have found that climate change is bad for the health of mothers and babies, and particularly bad for the health of mothers and babies of color.
So air pollution, exposure to sources of air pollution, say living in urban settings that are near smokestack industry or say coal-fired power plants, correct?
That, but also vehicle traffic. Ah. We know from national and local studies that communities of color tend to live in areas with a lot more highways and a lot more polluting industries. So they're exposed to higher levels of air pollution. But there's also the issue of living in the hottest parts of cities. So again, nationally and locally, communities of color are more likely to live in areas with less shade, more heat-absorbing surfaces, and lower quality housing. So they get this double whammy of heat and air pollution.
Right. And one example the study cites is they looked at almost 500,000 births in the state of Florida in the years 2004 and 2005, and found that for every 3 miles or so closer, a mother lives to a plant that, in this case, burns garbage, a waste-to-energy plant, the risk of low birth weight increases by 3%. So living closer to a power plant is also tied to a higher risk of preterm birth. So this is a robust study that looked at a lot of locations and a lot of births, correct?
Yes, it's actually really novel in that it's the only study that has really examined the whole sweep of research that's been done within the U.S. There's been, individual studies done here and there, but they included data from more than 32 million births from across the country. So it's an important addition to our understanding of this issue.
So one of the things that, we've talked about, obviously, is their disproportionate exposure of these certain groups to pollution and to heat. Where does access to healthcare play into this?
Hmm. Yeah, that's also really important. We find that communities of color tend to have less access to healthcare, but also lower quality care. So on the quality side of things, one of the studies that has horrified me most in the last couple of years is an examination of the beliefs of white medical students. So this was just from a couple of years ago. Over half of the students surveyed in the study had false beliefs about the bodies of Black people that would contribute to just how they manage pain in their potential patients. But we definitely see higher rates of uninsured people, less access to clinics that have doctors and nurses that represent the communities they're trying to serve. And even amongst people with employer-based insurance, we find fewer people of color with that employer-based insurance within certain industries, white folks.
Okay, wow. First. So a lot of, preconceptions, attitudes come into play here that have to change. A lot of change that has to happen. So if we're looking at, obviously, the impacts of living in a degraded environment and a warmer world, it must benefit people who live outside of these degraded environments, have more successful pregnancies and more normal birth rates. Did the study do any comparison like that?
I don't recall that specific comparison in terms of the broader conclusions from this study, but certainly the individual studies cited within the paper, some of those would have made those direct comparisons. I want to just pause for a second and make the case that climate change is actually a threat to moms everywhere, whether
right.
they live in,
Park City.
Less well-off neighborhoods. Yeah. But
let's be honest.
There is a disproportionate harm. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. The warmer world impacts everybody on a number of different ways.
Right. And when we say, a risk to moms everywhere, a risk to kids everywhere, that means to everyone, right? And so it's important that we think about this probably more broadly. As a member or a representative of the NRDC, that's kind of been bringing this subject to light, taking a study, talking about it, what are the steps that we can take to start to address this kind of thing? Does the NRDC have like a strategy or plan specifically to address this kind of environmental racism?
So we're trying to tackle the issue on multiple fronts. And I just want to say that although we have had a long commitment to environmental justice and these issues, as a mostly white organization, we still have a lot of work to do. So we're definitely trying to make some changes, both internally and how we associate with, how we interact with communities externally. But having said that, a lot of the work we do is specifically targeted to communities that need the most help. So a perfect example is our Energy Efficiency for All program, which is intended to boost energy efficiency measures in affordable multifamily housing. And that's important in this context for a couple reasons. Communities of color also face what's called a higher energy burden. So they pay more of their household income, a greater share of their household income, for electricity and other forms of energy than white households. So then when they're making a decision between, do I pay my medical bills or do I turn the air conditioning on or do I feed my family or do I turn the heat on, sometimes that heating and cooling loses out. So one of the things that we're trying to do is make energy more affordable for those households and also provide an opportunity to just maintain a safer, healthier internal or inside temperature. And that can help protect health in a variety of ways.
Right. And I can't help but think that there's a political answer to all these problems too, because as we've seen over the last 4 years, with respect to, say, the EPA, reduced funding means reduced enforcement, means reduced oversight, which means increased opportunities, let's just say, for air pollution and water pollution. And so there is a answer in the political realm to address these things too.
Yes, I'm really glad you raised that, because at the federal level, NRDC's work has largely in the last few years been about trying to stop the rollbacks that have been systematically happening, not only in EPA, but in other federal agencies, of basic health and safety protections.
Right.
So it's unconscionable that during a pandemic, we're seeing an even quicker rush from the EPA towards preventing people from experiencing clean air and clean water.
Yeah.
They have a job to protect public health, and we're trying to hold them to that.
Well, well done, and we thank you for the work that the NRDC does. We got to wrap up. Is there a website that people can go to read this paper? Perhaps it's a link through the NRDC or the NRDC's website in general to follow you, Juanita.
Sure. So NRDC's website is www.nrdc.org. And I'd also urge your listeners to check out the Black Women's Health Imperative. Mm. They have a long history of advocating for the health and wellness of Black women and girls, and they're really an important space to watch when it comes to this intersection between maternal health and climate change.
Say that again. Black Women's
Health Imperative.
Health Imperative. Okay. That's great. Thank you very much. Juanita Constable is a health policy expert in the Climate and Clean Energy Program at the Natural Resources Defense Council. Juanita, thanks so much again for taking the time to chat with us, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Let's, you know what?
What, Chris?
We have a couple minutes. We're all out of underwriters and sponsors. So let's keep rolling along here.
Well, we want to thank our guests,
of course, from today's show.
Starting off, of course, with Dr. Dorcida Taylor, a professor of environmental sociology at the University of Michigan. And in a couple of weeks, she'll be a professor at the Yale University School of the Environment, where she'll be continuing her work on environmental racism. And
you think it'd be all right if I just kind of drove
just audited
country.
Her class.
Yeah, audited.
I know. Should we ask? Should we make a request?
Look, just show up. Tell
Will
her
you have
I am.
Us.
Give her a KPCW mug, and I can sit in the back of the room. I promise.
Nobody will notice.
Questions like every 3 minutes. So, all right. But in other words, thank you so much to her and Juanita Constable with the Natural Resources Defense Council talking about the paper recently released by JAMA Online, entitled Climate Crisis Disproportionately Harms Black Mothers and Their Infants.
We also want to thank our sponsors who make this show possible. They include Recycle Utah, Vail Resorts Epic Promise, Jones Waldo Park City, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties, San Francisco Design, and of course, listeners like you. You can email us your thoughts, comments, and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
And the interviews for this show will be posted on the KPCW website later this morning. And thanks again for joining us. And remember, this is KPCW 91.7 FM Park City. Tune in and listen like a local. Thanks again. NPR News is now.